Well, it seems like the theme for this morning is identity, knowing who you are in God. And I think that that's going to tie right into something he gave me to share with y'all for Pentecost Sunday. Amen. The Bible says in Daniel, those who know their God will do mighty exploits. Anybody want to be a part of doing mighty exploits? Well, it's all about knowing who you are in God, knowing your God, right? Knowing that you're a son, knowing that you're a daughter, not worrying about trying to meet up to the standards of who people want you to be and who church wants you to be and who religion wants you to be or who the world wants you to be, all right? But being who God has created you to be, the more you try to please everybody else and live up to their standard, the further away you get from your true identity in God. All right? And don't take that the wrong way, because if you preach that to some people that are just wanting to do their own thing, they'll use it as a way to just go and do what they want to do. All right? So you can't just be who you want to be. You got to be who God's created you to be, right? Does that make sense? Come on. But knowing who you are, resting sure in that, not allowing anything to make you question your identity. I mean, why is Jesus able to hang on the cross and say, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do? Now, if that was me, that would have made me feel offended. Well, these people don't know who I am in God. And then I'd start questioning myself. Am I really who you say that I am? I mean, if I was who you say that I am, why am I hanging on this cross? Isn't that how we get? Come on, we start questioning our own identity because people don't see it in us, all right? Huh? But Jesus was so sure, even in the darkest, most treacherous time of his life, he didn't allow it to move him from his identity, and he still allowed love to flow through him in a pure way. Amen? Come on. Come on. Those who know their God will do mighty exploits. And just like Rob was saying, there's something going to happen this summer, man. And I really believe that this summer is a season for mighty exploits, a season for great things, miracles, signs, and wonders to a degree that we haven't experienced them yet. Because the Bible says that the glory of the latter house shall be greater than the glory of the former house. All the crazy stuff we read about in the Bible, and I don't know what Bible y'all read, but when I read the Bible, it's like, man, that's crazy. You know, that really happened. Come on, sometimes it sounds like fairy tales and bedtime stories, but it's really the truth. Amen. These are real accounts. Yeah, it really took place. The Red Sea really parted.
Yeah, come on.
Yes. Come on, the dead really got up.
Yeah.
Blind eyes really came open, huh? What does that scripture mean? The glory of the latter house should be greater. We're meant to be operating in something greater.
Come on, yeah.
Come on. We're meant to see greater things, right? And I really believe that this is a season for harvest, a season for mighty exploits, a season for us to get activated and put some feet to our faith and really be the hands and feet of Jesus.
Yes.
Amen? But you got to know your God. You got to know who you are in God. And you can't allow anybody or anything to make you question that. Amen? Because once you start to doubt, once you start to question, it gives the enemy an open door to come in and shut down the purposes of God through your life. How many of y'all want to walk out the purposes of God? How many of y'all want to see the purposes of God come to pass? You got to be sure. You got to be confident. You got to know that you are His. Amen?
Yeah.
Come on. And I know, like, it's easy to talk about. It's easy to understand. But to really believe it, not just up here, but in here.
Yeah.
And have that confidence. Not in yourself. Not in what you can do and how good you can be. But in what He has done and how good He is and what He can do through you. Amen?
Yeah.
It's not about me and what I can do. I put no confidence in the flesh.
Yeah.
I say, die to the flesh so the Spirit can live through me. Amen? Come on. I really just believe that this is a season God wants us to really get activated, to really get moving in being a witness for the Lord. Being a witness. Letting our light shine. The Bible says, don't hide your light under a bushel. All right? And I know that seems simple. I know that seems basic. But how many times do we really hide our light when God gives us opportunities to let it shine? How many times do we tuck tail and withdraw when we could be saying, God bless you and Jesus loves you and let me share with you what God has done for me, all right? Come on, I know there's awkward moments, but how many of y'all know we got to push through those awkward moments that the flesh wants to fight? The Bible says that the Spirit desires what is contrary to the flesh. If your flesh is fighting it, that's just a good indicator that God wants you to do it.
Amen.
All right? Come on, the flesh desires what is contrary to the Spirit. The Spirit desires what is contrary to the flesh. And these two forces are constantly fighting each other. Come on, there's this war going on the inside of you. We got to learn to overcome those awkward moments and push through those awkward moments. Those moments of opposition. How many of y'all know opposition is really just an opportunity for God?
Yeah.
Huh? And it seems like some things have taken place in the government. I'm not going to get political, but it seems like the enemy is just running rampant in the government. Corruption is at an all-time high. And there's a reason that the enemy wants the government, because the enemy's legalistic, all right? He's the accuser of the brethren. He wants to accuse you legally before God to judge you and condemn you. And he works through laws. I mean, if he can get the government to pass laws that don't line up with the heart of heaven, it gives him legal access to rule and reign and wreak havoc in the land, all right? He's legalistic. So when the enemy has the government, it's like we feel this weightier oppression that comes through the legal right that he has. But how many of y'all know he can have the government, but he can't have your heart? All right? Because the kingdom of God is within you. Your life and your heart is meant to be governed by another authority, by another government that supersedes and trumps the corruption that's going on in the world. All right? My kingdom is not of this world. They're getting ready to crucify him. Well, if you are the king of the Jews, then, you know, that's what you say. My kingdom is not of this world. I'm not here to fight with your government and your laws. I'm tapped into something that goes beyond that. Amen. Come on. Yeah. Huh? And at the end of the day, I'm not going to allow you to make me question who I am. I'm still going to love you anyway. And it's hard, man. It's hard. It's hard to be a Christian. Let me give you a couple scriptures. Matter of fact, let me just read this. Acts chapter 1, verse 8. Y'all know the scripture. Jesus says, when the Holy Ghost comes upon you, he will give you power to what? To be an apostle, to be a prophet, to be an evangelist, to be a teacher. No, he will give you power to be my witness. We're all called to be witnesses for the Lord. Amen. We're all called to be. And that's the whole reason for Pentecost. Yeah. That was the whole reason for the Holy Ghost coming in Acts chapter 2, which is what he was talking about in Acts chapter 1. When the Holy Ghost comes upon you, he will give you power to stand boldly and be my witness and preach the gospel and see 3,000 people come to know Jesus and see 5,000 people come to know Jesus. It's only by his might. It's only by his strength. All right. It's not by my might. It's not by my strength. It's by his spirit. Amen. Come on. I can't do it. I can't. You can't. None of us can. But that's the whole purpose of Pentecost. That's the whole purpose of the Holy Ghost living on the inside of you. And if you're trying to withdraw and not seize the moments and opportunities that God has given you to be a witness in the little things, how many of y'all know it takes place in the little things? Yes. If you can't be faithful in few, God can't give you more. If you can't walk through the little doors, why would he ever take you to the big ones? Come on. The little moments, the little opportunities to say God bless you to the cashier. Or to share a little testimony with the waitress. You know, come on. And those are awkward moments. Your flesh wants to fight it. But that's the reason the Holy Spirit is living in you, to give you power to overcome that and be a witness. Come on, how many of y'all know who John the Baptist was? John said this about himself. He said, I am not the light, I'm just a witness to the light. All right? But Jesus said this about John the Baptist. He says, there's no one that's ever lived that's been greater than John the Baptist. But John the Baptist is considered least in the kingdom. So what does that mean? He's saying no man has ever lived that's greater than John, but in the kingdom he's the least. In other words, what he's saying is if you're in the kingdom and you got the Holy Ghost living on the inside of you, the least you need to be is a witness. That's bottom of the barrel. We got to let our light shine. We got to be a witness. We got to be awake to the truth and the reality of why we're really here. So I want to go to Ephesians chapter 5, verses 15 through 17. But it says this, starting in verse 15, chapter 5, Ephesians. It says, so be careful how you live. Everybody say careful.
Careful.
Come on, the reason he puts that word in there is because if you're not careful, if you're just brash, if you just rush through things, you're more likely to be deceived, thinking you're right when you're wrong. All right? Be careful how you live. Don't live like fools, but like those who are wise. Make the most of every opportunity. Come on, everybody say opportunity. Make the most of every opportunity in these evil days. Don't act thoughtlessly, but understand what the Lord wants you to do. Forget about what the world wants you to do. Forget about what people want you to do. Forget about what your job wants you to do or what your career is putting pressure on you to do. I'm not saying you shouldn't fulfill your duties, but listen, if you don't understand that you're there for a greater purpose and all you're doing is fulfilling your worldly duties and you're falling asleep to the reality of the truth of why you're really here, then you're missing it. All right? Be careful how you live. Huh? Don't act thoughtlessly. but be wise. Make the most of every, not half the opportunities, not three quarters of the opportunities. Make the most of every opportunity in these evil days. Right? Understanding what the Lord wants you to do. What's the Lord wants to do? Bottom of the barrel. Be a witness. Be a light. And listen, we need to be a witness and a light now more than ever. Come on, there's gross darkness on the face of the earth, and that's the greatest time for the light to shine. Amen?
Amen.
It really is. It really is. But let me take you to another scripture, because this has everything to do with knowing who you are, right? Knowing who you are in God. Colossians chapter 4, verses 2 through 6. How many of y'all know we can never be used in the public the way God wants to use us unless we're getting along with God in the private place? If you're not in that secret place, if you're not in that connection with God, in that communication with God in your personal time, then you can guarantee you ain't going to be ready in the public time. Neither am I. I got to stay on my face. Jesus did it. Like, he would be ministering to people, and then all of a sudden he would stop and say, no, I got to go and be alone with the Father. I'm running on E. I got to go get filled up. He was always pouring out, always trying to help, always trying to minister. And that's what God wants to use us for. He was making the most of every opportunity, but he knew that he couldn't run on E. He had to go get filled up. Yeah. Right? Come on. Come on. So listen to this. Colossians chapter 4, verses 2 through 6. Devote yourselves to prayer. With an alert mind and be thankful in heart. Pray for us too, that God will give us many opportunities. I say opportunity. Many opportunities to speak about his mysterious plan concerning Christ. This is why I am here in chains. That don't sound like an opportunity to me. How many of y'all would consider chains an opportunity? Listen, opposition equals opportunity in the kingdom. Alright? Because every time there's an opportunity that gets talked about in the Bible, there's always opposition. Alright? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Getting thrown in the fire, but it was just the perfect opportunity for everyone in that kingdom to see who God really was. Huh? Come on. Sometimes we think about opportunity being this smooth-sailing, grand, glorious, us-in-the-spotlight kind of thing. Yeah, you're going to be in the spotlight, but it's going to be a little hairy situation for you to really lean into God and show the world who he is. That's what real opportunity looks like, because that's how you tell the difference between the real and the fake. The fake don't stand up underneath that stuff. The fake can't handle that stuff. And I don't know about y'all, but I want the real thing.
Yes.
These times are real. The demonic activity is real. The oppression is real. The corruption is real. We need to be tapped into the real thing. We need to know our God. Amen? And we need to know who we are in God. But notice it says, devote yourselves to prayer. Pray that he'll give us many opportunities to speak about this mysterious plan concerning Christ. That is why I'm here in chains. Pray that I will proclaim this message as clearly as I should. He's saying, you got to pray for me because there's something coming against me that makes me want to not be able to proclaim it like I should. Right? Come on. Then he says, live wisely among those who are not believers. And make the most of every opportunity. There's that phrase again. In that same scripture. If you're not devoting yourself to prayer, if you don't have your own personal connection with God, then you're not going to be able to make the most of every opportunity. Amen? Let your conversation be gracious and attractive so that you will have the right response for everyone. Wow. Man, it's getting serious, y'all. We got to start taking this seriously. We got to start taking our personal time with God seriously. And listen, like I said, the enemy has legal right more through the corruption in the government. And it seems like the oppression is heavier. And it's making it harder for us to get in that secret place. It's making it harder for us to dig deep and get connected. It seems like the heavens are brass sometimes. It seems like you read the word and you don't get nowhere. Listen, am I just preaching to myself or am I talking to the right crowd this morning? But that's just all the more proof that this thing is real. And that if we'll dig deep, there was a word that Corey released yesterday about coal, alright? We got some coal mines around here or close, right? What's the thing about coal? It's used to burn, right? To keep the lights on, right? Come on, how many of y'all know you're meant to burn for Jesus?
Oh, yes.
Huh? And that's going to shine light into the darkness. But how many of y'all know coal doesn't just fall in your lap? You got to dig deep into the earth to get it. How many of y'all know the Bible says that you're created from the dust of the earth? You got to dig deep into this earth to get what you need to burn for Jesus under this gross darkness and this oppression that's going on out here in the world. You got to get in that personal place of prayer now more than ever, or the enemy's going to rock you to sleep. And that's the thing, like the oppression, it's this deceptive oppression. Oh, let's give them $1,200 a month. Let's rock them to sleep. Let's make them get in this comfort zone to where they're so comfortable that they just oblivious to what's really going on.
Yeah,
and they're not making the most of every opportunity. They're just caught up in all the worldly things, not awake and alive to the reality of why they're really here.
Yes.
And I'm not saying you shouldn't take the money and get out of debt and do whatever God wants you to do with it.
Amen.
Don't let it rock you to sleep, all right? Amen?
Amen.
Come on. We got to be alive. We got to be awake. And listen, that scripture that I read in Ephesians, let me go back to it real quick because this is good. Starting in verse 15, it says, so be careful how you live. But back up to verse 14, listen to what it says. Awake, O sleeper! Rise up from the dead, and Christ will give you life. Why is he saying awake right before he's saying, hey, you got to live wisely. You got to make the most of every opportunity. Obviously, there's people that are just going through the motions of life. They're so caught up in taking care of their worldly stuff that they're oblivious and falling asleep to why God has really got them where he's got them. Amen? And they're not making the most of every opportunity for the eternal purposes of the kingdom. They're just paying their bills. They're just living to die and just doing what they got to do to make it in this natural world. But how many of y'all know we're meant for something more than this natural world?
Hallelujah.
That's why he says, awake, O sleeper. Rise up from the dead. Because you're not making the most of every opportunity. You're not in this secret place. You're not doing what you got to do in private in order to be aware of what's really going on in the public. Which is the whole reason Pentecost happened. And the whole reason the Holy Spirit lives in us to give us boldness under this wicked, corrupted world. Gotta rise, y'all. We gotta rise. And here's the problem, like I was talking about. Opposition equals opportunity. A lot of times we don't look at the things that we have or the things that are before us like they're opportunities. All right? We don't think of them as opportunities. Huh? You mean that coworker getting rude with you is an opportunity? Yeah, that's what I mean. Come on. You mean all that oppression and all that spiritual warfare is just an opportunity for you to shine? Yeah, that's what I mean. Let me give you some examples of what kind of opportunities the disciples had, all right? Matthew chapter 10, verse 18, Jesus says this, you will stand trial before governors. What do you mean trial? Might have to go to jail for this thing?
Yep.
That don't sound like an opportunity to me. I'm trying to stay out of that. Come on.
Amen.
I went to jail my way. Well, what if we got to go to jail God's way? And listen, how can that even happen? This is prophecy. Jesus is prophesying.
Yep.
How can that even happen unless there's a corrupt government that comes against the church? But the church better know who they are, and they better be tapped into the greater government. All right? But we'll buckle underneath it. You will stand trial before governors and kings because you are my followers. Not just my fans, not just ones who say they believe, but you actually follow me. Right? There's a difference. But this will be your opportunity. I say opportunity. This will be your opportunity to tell the rulers and other unbelievers about me. See, some of y'all been praying for some opportunities. You don't even realize what you're praying for. God's like, all right, I'm going to give you some opportunities. But you got to recognize them as opportunities.
Yeah.
You got to know they're going to come with opposition because the enemy, he knows. He knows what the real thing looks like, and he's always going to try to shut it down. All right? So if it's easy and it's just smooth sailing, you know, it's probably not even what God wants you to do. All right?
Amen.
Amen. Let me give you another one. Acts chapter 20. Verse 24 is my favorite. Paul says, for my life is worth nothing to me unless I use it to complete the work the Lord Jesus gave me. The work of telling others about the gospel, the grace of God. Amen?
Amen?
But in Acts chapter 20, there's this situation that surrounds all that. All right? See, Paul is saying that he's feeling led to go to Jerusalem to preach the gospel. All All right? But the church was really persecuted in that time. And he knew that there was hard times ahead. But he knew that God had... He says, I'm bound by the Spirit. Let me just go ahead and read this. Acts 20, verses 19 through 26. He says, I have done the Lord's work humbly and with many tears. I have endured the trials that have come to me from the plots of the Jews. I never shrank back from telling you what you needed to hear, either publicly or in your homes. I have had one message for the Jews and Greeks alike, the necessity of repenting from sin and turning to God and having faith in our Lord Jesus. And now I am bound by the Spirit to go to Jerusalem. I don't know what awaits me except that the Holy Spirit tells me in city after city, jail and suffering lie ahead. Come on, how many of us would actually follow what God wanted us to do if we believed that God was telling us, hey, I want you to do this, but you're going to go to jail and you're going to suffer? And he says, I'm bound by this. I've got to do it. Huh? Nothing else is going to satisfy. Nothing else is going to fulfill. Staying in this little comfort zone of the government rocking me to sleep to the reality of what's really going on in the spirit, that's never going to satisfy. I can't settle for that. How many of y'all are not going to settle?
Amen. Yes.
Come on. I'm not going to settle for what the enemy's trying to work in my life. I'm bound by the Spirit to go to Jerusalem. I don't know what awaits me except that the Holy Spirit tells me in city after city that jail and suffering lie ahead. But my life is worth nothing to me.
Yes. Hallelujah.
Unless I use it to complete the work the Lord Jesus gave me. The work assigned to me. The work of telling the others the good news of the wonderful grace of God. And now I know that none of you to whom I have preached the kingdom will ever see me again. He's saying, I know I'm not even coming back. I'm going to die for this thing. Listen, what is it that makes the disciples go from scattering and none of them but one even go to the cross with Jesus? Peter's saying, oh, I'll die for you. But he denies him 3 times. Huh? And the only one that's there is John, right? What makes them go from scattering and tuck and tail and running to being crucified upside down on the cross? The Holy Ghost. Huh? Come on, that boldness, that power. They saw the resurrected Christ, and they was like, man, if death ain't got no hold on him, then I ain't got to be scared of death either. Come on, that's what you got to know. You got to know that the resurrection is real.
Yep.
Amen? Huh? You're meant to walk in resurrection power, resurrection life. You don't have to be scared of death because really, that's the last card up the enemy's sleeve, right? Amen. Oh, death, where is your sting? You have nothing on me. Let's look death in the face and say, I don't got to be scared of you because I'm connected to something that trumps all that.
Yeah.
I'm connected to the eternal kingdom of God. Heaven is coming to earth and I will not shrink back. I will not back up. I will not back down. Yeah. You can do what you want to do. Bring all the opposition my way. It's just going to be an opportunity for God to let everybody around know who He is.
Hallelujah.
Yes.
Yes.
Everybody's like, oh, why didn't this prophecy come to pass? Why didn't that prophecy? No, the prophecies that's going to come to pass is the words of Jesus.
Yeah,
and it's the prophecies that none of us want to believe because it's hard.
Yeah.
It's tough. But it's what you were born for such a time as this.
Yeah.
You're meant for it. You're created for it.
Hallelujah. Yeah.
Nothing else is going to satisfy.
Yeah.
Mm. Come on, and listen, here's the thing. You never really live until you figure out what's worth dying for.
Yeah, yeah. Come on. Hallelujah.
You never really live until you figure out what's worth dying for. And we're all giving our lives for something. Huh? We're all blood, sweat, and tears for something. Is it going to be the temporary things that don't amount to nothing in the end, or is it going to be the eternal kingdom? What are you going to give your life for? Because you're going to give it for something. I'm done giving my life to the things of the world. I'm done staying in a comfort zone. Listen, the Bible calls the Holy Spirit the comforter. But if you always trying to be comfortable, and you probably don't need the comforter. Some of y'all have heard me say that before.
Yeah.
But, you know, hopefully the more I say it, the more you get a revelation of it.
Yeah, come on.
Amen?
Hallelujah.
Amen. Let me finish this scripture up. And I know that none of you, I'm not even coming back. You'll never see me again. I declare today that I have been faithful. If anyone suffers eternal death, it's not my fault. Can you say that? Have you made the most of every opportunity to where you say, if they go to hell, it's not my fault?
Yeah.
I know that I've missed it a lot. I've let the flesh talk me right out of what the Spirit's telling me to do.
Yeah.
And that has a whole lot to do with rest. How many of y'all know the Bible says, Jesus, Come to me, all you are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. But he's not talking about just kicking back in the lazy boy with your chips and your TV remote. That's not the kind of rest he's talking about. He's talking about rest for your soul. All right? Huh? He's not talking about just laying back and being lazy. That's what some people want it to mean, right? Oh, Jesus gave me rest, so I'm just going to kick back. But in Hebrews chapter 4, it says that the children of Israel did not enter into the rest of God because they disobeyed what he said to do. Every time I didn't listen to the Spirit and I let the flesh talk me out of it, there was no rest for my soul. I couldn't sleep, man. I'm like, why did I miss that moment? Why didn't I capture that opportunity? Why wasn't I ready? Why wasn't I awake? Come on, I was so busy taking care of the natural things that I let the enemy rock me to sleep to the purpose of why I'm really here. And I missed this opportunity. I wasn't in the secret place as much as I needed to be. I wasn't in the Word as much as I needed to be. And I wasn't ready. Right? Come on, and you wake up the next day and you try to go do the thing that God told you to do the day before, and there's not even an opportunity for it again. That's why you've got to seize the moments when they happen. Come on. The children of Israel, they had an opportunity to go into the promised land way before 40 years. But they missed their moment. Ended up wandering for 40 years. Man. There was no rest. There was no rest. That's what rest is really all about. Jesus, John chapter 4, he goes to Samaria and meets a woman at the well, right? And all the disciples go to town to get some food, and he stays at the well, and this woman comes up, and he's listening to the Spirit. He's being led by the Spirit. He's fulfilling the will of God, right? He's capturing the moment, seizing the opportunity. And then the girl has an encounter, and she goes and gets the whole town, and revival breaks out, and the disciples come back right at the end of the conversation. They're like, why is he talking to her? And they're like, hey, we got some food. Don't you want to eat? You know what he says? For my nourishment comes from doing the will of God. I have a food that you know nothing about. Huh? Well, what's he talking about? In other words, I'm listening to the Spirit, and I'm doing what the Spirit's told me to do right now. Even though you don't understand it, even though you think it's something that I shouldn't do, I'm fulfilling the will of God. He says, I have a food you know nothing about, for my nourishment comes from doing the will of God. Right? So when you listen to the Spirit and you seize those moments and you capture those opportunities, it'll give you a fulfillment. It'll give you a nourishment that the things of the world will never give you. Come on, every time I've captured the moment, every time I've captured the opportunity, I feel like I hit the mark and I feel like $1 million, and it does something for me that the world cannot do.
Yes.
That's what he's talking about right there. And every time you disobey that, you miss out on that eternal fulfillment. You miss out on that. That nourishment that only he can give. Because the rest, the nourishment comes from doing it. And then you can say, oh yeah, I know I captured that moment. I can rest easy tonight. If they go the wrong way, it ain't my fault. Huh? Come on, and it's not that we're just trying to make sure it ain't our fault. We do it out of love because we want to see them. You know what I'm saying? See them come to know Jesus. But your conscience, come on, the Bible says there's no rest for the wicked. And God's definition of wickedness is different than the world's. He comes to the servants in Matthew 25, the parable, talking about how he gave 5 talents to one, 2 talents to another, and 1 talent to another. The first 2 brought multiplication, or they brought increase. The 5 came back with 10, the 2 came back with 4, the 1 came back. He didn't lose it, but he didn't gain anything. Right? He said, I hid it in the earth because I was afraid. Got to push through them awkward, afraid moments to bring the increase for the kingdom. Now, here's the crazy thing. He wasn't out here living in blatant sin. He wasn't out here doing ungodly things. He just didn't bring increase. And the master said, you wicked and lazy servant. Cast him into outer darkness. Man, that's wickedness to God. The world's definition of rest, sitting back on the lazy boy, not really doing what you put here to do. Come on. It's time to get activated. It's time to be a witness for the Lord. It's time to be the hands and feet of Jesus. It's time to receive the boldness of the Holy Ghost to go out here and stand up under this wicked, oppressive, corrupt government and show the world who he really is. Come on. That's what Pentecost is all about. That's what the power of the Holy Ghost is all about. You might not be called to preach or do worship or whatever, but you're called to be a witness.
Yep.
You're called to be a light that's bottom of the barrel. Get out here and do it. Seize the little opportunities that God gives you and watch what it'll do. Watch the fulfillment that it'll give you. And see, here's the thing. Every time that I miss the moment and I miss the opportunity and there's no rest for my soul, I try to get myself caught up in a whole bunch of other busyness to forget about it. And then I'm just getting rocked all the more to sleep because I'm getting caught up in the busyness of the world that don't really matter to me. I'm trying to suppress it by... Listen, busyness is not holiness. And it doesn't make up for the fact that you're disobeying God. And I'm preaching to myself. I'm preaching to anybody, guys. But it's the season for it. Those who know their God will do mighty exploits. The summer's coming. The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. You get out here and get activated and be who God's created you to be. It's not going to be smooth sailing. It's always going to be opposition. It's always going to be hard. Quit looking for those easy opportunities. It's not going to happen. Push through and be who God says that you are anyways.